homework to our members to read this wonderful, wonderful, great historical letter that God left us. Paul, when he wrote to the Roman church, he says, the things that are written aforetime, Romans 15:4, they're written for our learning. And there is so much to learn that you can see living examples of people who had this wonderful relationship with God. And God led them. But the titles, we're on lesson five today, lesson five. I wish I had time to review the whole lessons. I think all of them are online on our website. I wish I had time to review it all, but you got to read this. And we've been studying about Joshua as he took over the mantle from Moses. The first lesson was how to get from here to there. God gave them this great promise of this promised land. We're not under the old law, but we do have a promise. You know that. We talked about how to get from here to there, how they got from across the Jordan River. And it was upon God's invitation. God does not make us do anything, but he challenged them. And they had to have faith to walk across on dry land. Now, he gives us an invitation. We extend that at the end of each of our worship services. We don't have to cross. We don't have to walk through the Jordan River on dry land, but we have to go through the water to get into Jesus Christ. We are buried in the watery grave of baptism. And we talked about God's invitation and knowing also, but we have to recognize God's commitment to us. When we cross through that water, God's commitment to us. He says, he told them, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. That's powerful to even commit that much to tell somebody that I'll never leave you. We might say that, but we can't back it up. And, you know, we'll say, I'll never leave. How you know you're even going to be here tomorrow? We can't back it up like God did, but he tells us the same thing. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we see example after example of him doing that, him not leaving them. And he won't leave us today, but he recognized also that God requires a commitment from us. For us to get from here to there, for us to get from earth to glory, God is committed to us, but he expects us to commit and obey him. The second lesson was overcoming obstacles. We commit to God doesn't mean that everything just lays down for us. We will have obstacles in this life. That's reality. Why? Because we live in this world, and this world is full of sin, and sin is transgression against God's word. Everybody, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If we remove sin, we remove problems. But sin is here, and we have to overcome obstacles. Their first obstacle was the city of Jericho. As soon as they crossed Jericho, waiting, you got to claim it, but they got paganism, everything. God told them to destroy that land. But God gave them the victory to overcome that obstacle, as he gives us the victory also. And then we talked about us being able to make up for lost time. Excuse me, failure is an option. Failure is always an option. Don't get too overconfident. We are Christians. We're saved by grace through faith, but we can't get too overconfident. And sometimes troubles come our way when we get too overconfident to think that we cannot fall. They fail. The children of Israel failed. Even after God gave them that great victory, sin was in the camp, and they had fear all over the whole camp, and it affected everybody. And they couldn't get right. The fourth lesson was how to make up for lost time. Some of us, we waste a lot of time in failure. Not just because we failed, it's because we stay in our failure. Joshua chapter 8, God told Joshua to go. He told him to arise and go. The same city that defeated them, God told them to go back and conquer that city. Not on their own might, but on the might of God. And God helped them, devised a plan for them to overcome their failure as he does us the same. Somebody need to hear this morning. You've been laying down too long. It's time for you to get up. It's time for you to stop feeling guilty and stop complaining and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the Israelites were a great example of that, because after they did that, God gave them a victory after they listened to God again. And today our lesson title is well, actually three or four titles. Eyes Wide Open. Eyes Wide Open, or Embrace the Journey, or Expect the Unexpected. We're in Joshua chapter 9, so you turn there, if you will, with me to Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9. Everybody's all right? You're subdued this morning. Eyes Wide Open. We're on a journey. Those of us that have named the name of Christ, this journey that we're on, and we need some patience, and we need some strength, and we need some hope to make this journey. And let's see what we can still learn from the children of Israel, from Joshua, from this wonderful example we have in the Bible. They've come a long way, but it's not over for them yet. It's not over for them yet. But God has blessed. Now their confidence is kind of built back up again as we go through these hills and valleys of life. They experience failure. They experience punishment. Now they're experiencing a renewed confidence because God now has gave them another victory. And now we're, and I don't know where you are in your Christianity, those of us that are Christians, where you are in your life, but we need to look at the big picture, the whole picture. We don't know what lies on tomorrow, but you have to have some endurance and some patience to make it through this life. Amen. One thing I recognize, I was reading this text, is that everybody wants a blessing. You know, the blessings are in Christ, but people out in the world want a blessing. Listen to Joshua 9:1. Now it came about when all the kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hill country and in the lowland and on all the coast of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, they heard of it. What did they hear? Notice, common phrase. You've heard this the last few weeks. They heard of it. They heard again what the Israelites had done to the land of Ai. Now Jericho has been defeated. They heard of it. Now they hear of Ai and what God did to the king of Ai and all that land and destroyed it. They heard of it. As today in our time, we as Christians, when we go to work, when we have a certain demeanor, especially for a certain period of time, people ought to see and know something about us. They ought to notice something about us. You know, if people in your neighborhood, the street that you live on, whether it's an apartment or whether it's a house, if you've been there a certain length of time, if you are a child of God, a faithful child, people know what you do on Sundays. They notice. They know. They see your car pulling off. They may see how you dress. And they will say, that person must be at least going to church. And we know that Christianity is not all about just attending church, about us just coming to this building. Some people come to this building for different reasons. I know you're not here this morning, but some people come here to make a deal. Some people come here to meet people. But we come here to worship God, amen? But people know, if you've been on your job for any length of time, and you are trying to live a godly life, and most of the time you are, I promise you, somebody has seen it. Someone has noticed when you eat your food that you seem to bow your head and pray for your lunch. People know what we're, even without voicing and saying a word, how we react when someone on the job, a loved one dies and you send a note or you put a pat on their shoulder, or you send a consolation, or you make a call, or you send a flower. People see it. And they heard of the children, surely heard of the great acts that God was doing through them. So the scriptures say they heard of it. And notice verse number 2, that they gathered themselves, these kings, together with one accord to fight with Joshua and with Israel. They're not Israelites. They are other kings who hear of what God, how good God has been to the Israelites. And they say, listen, we don't want the same thing now. We need to know what they got. We need to get on that, on Joshua, whatever his God, we need to be on his side. And so they try to align themselves with Joshua. As a lot of times you know individuals, you know, in our families, and it's not to say that everything goes right for us all the time, that everything is perfect for us, but people know when people are blessed. And many times they want to associate, to find out what is going on. And that is not a bad thing. It certainly was not a bad thing for these kings because it saved them. Everybody, church, everybody wants a blessing. Keep your eyes open for opportunities to be a blessing to other people. Keep your eyes open and don't have your head in the sand, and you'll be surprised what your blessings can do for others. Our dear good friend, our brother in Christ, he and his wife are with us today, Brother Bob Carpenter. They were there last night at my dad's retirement last night, and he told a wonderful story. Many of you have heard, some of you have not, of how they met. They met on a truck route, I don't know how many years ago now, 30 plus years ago now, on a truck route. My dad, member of the church, he was not a member of the church, and my daddy was training him on the truck route. And he noticed how Mr. Ben, he called him Mr. Ben at the time, how he acted, how he behaved himself. And my dad invited him to come to worship service, and the rest is history. His brother Bob Carpenter now is a professor at Oklahoma Christian University. Missionary in Brazil a number of years. He and his wife, faithful members. He's an elder at the Memorial Road Church of Christ in Oklahoma City. You never know who you are meeting every single day of your life. And there are individuals who are hungry, who are searching, who are confused. And if we just open our eyes or open our mouths and be the example, you'll be surprised who we touch and who we bless. Eyes wide open and look for opportunities. Also, don't be naive in the world. We're on a journey as they were on a journey. So many things happen that we don't have time to read them all. Let me read another one to you in Joshua chapter 9, verse 6. Joshua 9, 6. They went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We've come from a far country. Now, therefore, make a covenant." This is another group. Make a covenant with us. Now, they also wanted a blessing, but they were being deceitful in their dealings with Joshua. And they dressed up like they were away from an old country. And they told him, "Well, we're not from this land that you're trying to claim. We're from a far country, but we want to be on your side. And we want to be with you," because certainly they didn't want Joshua to destroy them as he had done others and claim their land. And listen to verse number 22, Joshua 9:22, as we are on our journey. "Then Joshua called for them and spoke to them, saying, 'Why have you deceived us, saying, we are very far from you when you are living within our land? Now, therefore, you are cursed and you shall never cease being slaves, both hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God.'" In other words, Joshua found out that they were not who they said they were. And Joshua said, "You're cursed," because he couldn't kill them because they made a vow to them. They were cursed because they did deceive. And you know, people, one thing I recognize is if you're a Christian, sometimes people think you're just weak and silly. Or they try to take advantage of you. You know, a lot of people take advantage of Christians because we nice and kind. Amen. Excuse me. Amen, church. We're supposed to be nice and kind to everybody. We're supposed to be nice and kind and treat everybody and love everybody. And some people see that as a way to take advantage. And you'd be surprised what people will do. Some people will take advantage of our kindness and renege on contracts. Would you believe a man will take advantage of a Christian woman? He sure will if you don't watch out. And a woman will take advantage of a Christian man. Amen, ladies. That's not in here right now. Yeah. And I know one sister told me, she said, "Brother, I'm just hurt. I'm just so hurt. And she was hurt about this relationship she was in. She's not in here, so don't be trying to figure out who I'm talking about. She's telling me she was hurt, and she said, I'm sorry that you hurt. And she said, Brother Gary, he said, he fooled me. He had me so fooled. She said, we would talk. He talk every time we talk on the phone, every time he would always, before we got off the phone, he would always pray with me, Brother Gary. And she said, he prayed with me all the time. She said, then he started praying on me. And saints, we're living in the world. We're not to be of the world. We live in the world. We are Christians, but we also need to keep our eyes open for deception, if you will. The scripture, Paul, he even told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 21, but examine everything, approve all things, and hold fast to that which is good. That's what he said. He says, there's nothing wrong. Sometimes we just need to take, just wait. Just be patient. You know, be kind. And even when we're choosing leaders in the church, the Bible says lay hands suddenly on no one. Don't just open your pocketbooks and give every, you allow people to take your time. And he's just giving us some wisdom. Is that some wisdom for us in the world? I met this man and we've been talking for 1 month and I think he's the one. I'm ready to hold up, sister. Give it a little time. Give it a little time. And don't be so not. If you read the rest of the text, I don't have time to read it all. Joshua chapter 9, you'll see that after Joshua made the vow with these people, the men found out that they were not who they said. All they had to do was wait a little bit while longer and say, hold on, I know you want to make a covenant with me. I know you want to be connected, but let's just wait a little while. And sometimes that is so much wisdom for us in life to be patient and to not be hasty in dealing, making these contractual relationship decisions in our lives, whether it be in our personal lives, whether it be on our jobs, whether it be even in our worship, in our church. Even, let me say this, and I know I probably need to say this to the 8 o'clock service, but believe it or not, there are folk in the church that you don't need to be in contract with. Amen, somebody. Yeah. In contract with. We trust in God. We trust in God, and we love people. But don't be naive in your dealings in our everyday life. I learned that from reading this from Joshua also. Let's go to Joshua chapter 11. I don't have time to do this in two lessons. I'm going to try to cover a little ground and I'll sit down this morning. Joshua chapter 11 and see what else we can glean from this example we have in God's word. Then it came about. We have two groups. They wanted to be blessed and they do, two of them did it different ways. But we have another group. Then it came about when Jabin, king of Hazar, heard of it. Notice this, he heard of it. We moved, the children of Israel are moving. And they are on a journey. And they also heard of it. Notice, they didn't have the internet back then. Didn't have radio. Didn't have television. How did they hear about it? People talk. Yeah, people talk. Matter of fact, they say in business, the best kind of business, the best kind of business that you can get is referrals. It's someone who's experienced what you have to offer and they like it and they tell somebody else about it. And I would be willing to say, if we did a poll of the whole congregation and asked, well, how did you even come to visit the Fifth Ward Church of Christ? How did you hear about the Church of Christ? How did you hear about the Fifth Ward Church of Christ? I'd venture to say that probably most of us heard either through someone else, even if they told you, well, Gregory, I heard the sermon online. Well, somebody probably referred you even to listen to the sermon online. And that ought to tell us of the influence, the power of our own personal influence. Studies have shown that the best way to get somebody to even come to church, the best market is for your friends, your people that you already know a personal invitation. Yeah, that's why these companies spend so much money on these celebrities, because they want them to say how good it is so you think it's good because they said it was good. But Hazar, he heard of it. What did he hear? He heard all of the stories. He knew what the children of Israel had done. It affected him so. Listen to what he said. He sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and the king of Shimron, and the king of Ashshaph, and the kings who were of the north in the hill country, and in Araba, and south of Chinaroth, and in the lowland, and on the heights of Dor on the west, to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Jebusite in the hill country, and the Hivite at the foot of Hermon in the land of Mizpah. They came out, they and all their armies with them, as many people, listen, as the sand that is on the seashore, with very many horses and chariots. Verse 5. So all of these kings, having agreed to meet, came and encamped together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. Everybody not for us. Everybody was not happy for sure that the children of Israel were coming over Jordan. They knew what they were coming for. Some chose to join them. You know the old saying, if you can't beat them, join them. Some chose to join them, but some dug their feet in, and they conspired together. Why are you reading this with so much emphasis? Christians, saints, children of God, listen, keep your eyes open, because I promise you, there are individuals, and this is something that I've really had to learn, not to be a paranoid, but at the same time, you have to be, there are some folk who would fight against your Christianity. There are some individuals who do not want us to succeed, who do not want us to thrive, who do not want us to be happy. And they're all over the place. Yeah, they're all over the place. I do not believe God wants us to live as schizophrenics and paranoid of everybody that's walking. But at the same time, brother, I tell you what, you go to work and be on time every day. Be on time every day. You sit in your cubicle and do your work and stay out of all of the mess that's going on around on the job. And you mind your own business. And you do your job. And you do it diligently. And you do it well. And you're awarded for it. And you say, well, oh, God is so wonderful. He's good and he's blessing me. But as he's blessing you, somebody is mad. Yeah, somebody is unhappy. And you know, some people are unhappy and won't do anything. They'll just be unhappy and won't speak to you. But then you have some who will conspire against what you are all about. And we learn that as the children of Israel. Because I tell you what, if I don't know, maybe I would have done the same thing if I had been them also. But it would seem like to me, if they knew God, how much God did, how he knocked the walls down and how he gave them all the victory, I would have went and handed Joshua, here, you can have my keys, just please spare me. But you had individuals who conspired to fight against the children of God. But listen to what Joshua chapter 10 verse 8 said. Joshua chapter 10, as I try to race to a close. Joshua chapter 10, beginning at verse 8. The Lord said to Joshua, do not fear. Everybody say, do not fear. This is a very familiar phrase in Joshua's letter. He says, do not fear. It's kind of similar to what Moses told Joshua, to be strong and of good courage. Because he knows that this is something that children of God must have, is a grounded, strong faith and not fearful. And he says to Joshua, do not fear. them, for I have given them into your, another familiar phrase we've read all through this, I have, as if the victory is already yours, Joshua, but it will escape you if you are fearful. This is the kind of faith that God wants us to have as his children, eyes of faith, seeing though it's not there yet. He tells them, do not fear. Fear is a great enemy of ours. Fear keeps us from being everything God wants. Fear keeps us from enjoying the great bit. God rewards great faith. Shonoff rewards great faith. And he tells them, do not fear. Listen to this. As we are on this journey, for I have given them into your hands. Not one of them shall stand before you. And he says it so explicitly. And I mean, if you God is so detailed when he tells. He says, not nobody is going to stand. So Joshua, notice, by this time, Joshua's faith is strong. And can I just say this? You know, I know we have new converts in the church. And with some starting their Christian journeys out. But you know, we ought to be growing. We ought to be. Lord, please increase our faith. Increase my faith. Sometimes I'm ashamed of how fearful I am of some circumstances. Knowing how good God has been to me. Knowing how God has brought me so far. And a lot of times you face something and you having this fear and doubt, and it should not be that way. But at this time, Joshua, the Bible would say that Joshua, he says, he came up on them suddenly. When God told him, don't fear, they're in your hands. Why would he go then so quickly? Because now God has already given Jericho into their hands. And we're on the journey. We need to recall some of the great victories that God has given us. Recall some of the victories. Just imagine you were there walking around the city the seventh day, even if you're not Joshua. Just say you're one of the soldiers and you're walking. Man, say you're walking on the, and you, they blow the trumpet and they give a great shout and the walls, and you would think, and man, you remember we was in Jericho, and man, those walls just came, we haven't even lifted a sword yet. And our walls just came down. He said, man, I remember I was standing there in the wall. I said, man, I saw all the people scared to death. And that happened. You're not talking about something you heard about. It actually happened. You saw it. And God gave us this victory. Joshua was a part of it. He was also a part of Ai. When God ambushed the people, he gave them the plan. He said, Joshua, you send some men over to the left side. And let them stay there. And then you take some and you go to the front side. And they're going to come running out for you. And you run from them like you're scared to death. Those on the left, they'll go into town. They'll burn up the whole city. The men will turn around and see the city burning. And when they turn around, you turn around. And God gave them the victory. Those of you read, you know that's what it says. God destroyed all of them. Man, you remember that plan God gave us? Boy, didn't we have them scared? God was on our side. He gave us that plan. We experienced. He gave us the victory. And so now when God tells them, look, Joshua, don't be afraid. It's going to happen like I said. It's already in your hands. Listen to what happened. Joshua suddenly, he marched all night from Gilgal, verse 10. And the Lord confounded them before Israel. Notice the Lord confounded them before. See, listen, and I know this sounds, it sounds fantasy to us when our faith is small. But notice, it is God who's carrying out our plans. Some things seem overwhelming. And he's asking us to have great faith. We're not under the old law. We don't have to fight physical battles, but there are battles we fight every day. The things that we need, if this is a new year, and God wants you as a husband to exhibit the type of faith that believes that God is able to do all things. You have a family. When you're praying prayers with your family, pray prayers of faith. Knowing that God can provide for all of your needs. Let your children hear you pray prayers of faith so their faith can be built. Amen. Even us as a church. We think about all of it. This Fifth Ward Church, if you've been here a while, you ought to be able to say God is good. God has helped us. We paid for this sanctuary. How many years ago? Well, we paid for this 3 or 4 years. This is paid for. What do you mean? We all put our monies together by faith. And this building is, I remember when we planned our first day of good works, and we were talking about it in the elders' meetings, and I was trying to share with the elders, you know, this idea of let's have a day of good works for our community. Let's have 1,000 people to come here that's not members of this body. We were talking about this. Well, Gary, how are we gonna do this? And what are you gonna? I said, we'll just meet the needs. We'll do what Jesus did. He met needs. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. So let's do what they did. And so, well, how are we gonna do it? We do it with all our gifts and all our talents. We'll use all our gifts and talent. We invite the church in. So, well, where are we going to put them? We got enough room to put them. We just have to organize it. And we talked about it. And all of a sudden, they say, let's do it. They say, let's do it. We said, brought to the congregation, we want to try to have 1,000 visitors. You hear some whispers, 1,000? How are we going to get 1,000 visitors in here? And not only did we have 1,000, we probably had 2,000. Amen. Listen, with the help, first of all, we have to see, God wants to bless us. But if we don't think, you praying a prayer for your family, Lord, bless my family, bless my children this year. Bless them, Lord, to have great health. Bless them, Lord, to do well in school. I want you to bless Junior. I want you to bless Cynthia to make all A's. They got the brains to do it. Help them to make all, help them do well on their debate teams, on their with their musical instruments. Help them to do well in sports. But again, you shouldn't pray all that. But again, if you don't have faith, don't pray it. Because it's not going to happen anyway. See, that's what we do. Lord, bless us financially in our homes that we can save some money this year. Lord, bless us, Lord, with a windfall. Give us, don't tell people that, Brother Gary. How is God going to give us something we're afraid to even ask for? And at this particular time, remember what we just read. All these kings have conspired together. They cannot even be numbered. And you know the children of Israel could be numbered. Joshua did, when God said, Joshua, do not fear, they are all, not one of them shall stand. Joshua in his mind, Jericho, Ai, God is good, we gone. And listen to what else happened as I close. Listen to what else happened. The Bible says in verse 10, the Lord confounded them before Israel, and he slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and pursued them by the way of ascent of Beth Horam, and struck them as far as Azekah and Makeda. And as they fled before Israel, while they were at the descent of Beth Horam, notice this, the Lord threw large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than those who the sons of Israel killed with the. Sometimes we don't know exactly how the plans are going to work out, but God does. Yeah, you don't know exactly. Well, Gary, I need to have. See, Brother Gary, this is how I am. I have to plan everything out, and I need to. You go ahead and you pray, you plan, and have faith that God can carry out the plan. If we want to see everything, well, I got to see it. That's not faith. Not everything. It's not, we're not saying jump out. We have faith, but allow God room to make. See, God wants to demonstrate to us that it's not us. It is only him. And that's what he did for them. Notice what else it. Then Joshua, listen to this faith. Verse 12. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord. Now, the Lord already tells him not to be afraid. Joshua hears him and goes, as they were trying to defeat all of these men, then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel, O sun, stand still at Gibeon, and O moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of that. Oh, this, you got to see this. Now, I love it that Joshua went to God, And he did it publicly. That's why I say when we pray prayers of faith, you know, when we pray prayers of faith with our wives, to God, with our children, with the church, brothers coming up here praying public prayers, pray prayers where we all can be praying to God. It's public, so all of us, our faith will be increased. And when we know God answers the prayer, we give all the glory to God and God alone. And he did it. He did it in the face of possibly being embarrassed, possibly being that God did not grant his prayer, because he believed it that much that God had the power, if he wanted to stop the sun, and God did. He did it in the sight of all. What a great demonstration. So much for us to learn as we grow, as we take this journey in life that we are on. And I don't know about you, but I need to increase my faith. I need to stop worrying and stop whining and realize how good God already has been. And so many wonderful things that God wants to do us. He said in Joshua 8:1, do not fear. Joshua 10:25, do not fear. Joshua 12:1, do not fear. Matthew 10:28, we read that and we stop. He said, the brother read in your hearing, do not fear those who kill the body, but are able to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And then he goes on to say, are not two sparrows sold for a cent, or farthing, as the King James translation would say, really less than a penny? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the Father, but the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Then in verse number 31, he says, so do not fear, for you are more valuable than many sparrows. No, God loves us. He truly, truly loves us. And we fret too much. We fret too much. And as we continue on our life's journey every single day, and Lord knows we need this, you know, let's embrace this journey. Let's embrace it. Let's live lives. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we ought to be spirit. When I say spirit, not necessarily emotional, but when we get up, we ought to have a reason to get up in the morning. You know, some of us, we get up, we look at the wall 30 minutes before we move. Because we scared of the day. And now, notice, we know God is on our side. See, if you've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'll send you the invitation so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is New Testament now. We're not under the Old Testament. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder. And you know, I'm an imaginative. I'm just imaginative big kid. I always loved rewards when I was little. You want to get me to do anything? Show me a quarter, penny, dime. And God is a rewarder. Notice, Jesus said, I came that you might have life. Jesus, I came that you might have life. That's why you're living on earth. And that you might have it more abundantly. And so God wants us to give the best life down here and eternal life. And a lot of times we're on the journey. We don't know how long we're going to be here. But now the best part of the Israel's life is right before them now. They've gone through that tough time. They've had victory. They've had failure. They learned their lesson. You remember what happened? One of their members stole something that was banned. And boy, it brought fear. God punished him. Now, you will never read again in the book of Joshua. After that, then nobody steal nothing. No more. They learned their lesson. As some of us, God has spanked a few of us a few times. And you know, and when you learn, I'm going to tell you something. God spanked me real good since I've been a Christian. I told you about a little bit about it last week. He spanked me so good that I'm telling you, I haven't had an itch to do what I did in that situation again. And some people are, Gary, you need to slow down. No, I'm fine. As long as my health hold up, I want to work for the Lord while I have energy, while I have life. And I want to, as long as I can. Why? Because I know God has been so good to me. And has God spared any of us? He spared me. And so let's live life. So let's enjoy this journey day by day. Let's do God's work while it is day. Because the time is going to come, we can't work. And so now they're embracing it. They're defeating the armies. And these are not all the armies. Next week, I have one last lesson in this series. You'll find out that Joshua defeated 30, Joshua and the children, 31 kings. Oh, so they're just getting rolling. But now is when they're going. Now they're walking with confidence. Oh, look here! I'm not worried about it. He had the wall. We had ambush. We had hailstones. I'm wondering how we gonna do it the next time. And God is. We have the victory. It's ours. It's in our hands. And I know that there's someone here who wants to be on God's team. You come by faith, believing that Jesus is the Son of the Living God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, then confess Christ with your mouth what your heart believes and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, God will add you to his team. Not the children of Israel, but to us as Christians today. And you'll be in the body that you can read about in the Bible that Jesus Christ died for. And the Bible says he's coming back again for one day. And he said, if you're faithful unto death, he'll give us a crown of life. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to respond to that invitation. We please invite you to come and be baptized in water. If you're here and you have a prayer request, we'll pray for you this very day that God will strengthen you, strengthen us in our journey in this life. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song
Pass
of invitation?
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.